Jay Brody is bullish on Baltimore. The now retired development director says the city is moving along in many areas more briskly than many of its residents recognize.
I see the city with tremendous potential, but not easy to realize that potential because of problems we're very familiar with, like crime, drugs, and the quality of the public schools.
And there's one more major liability. The lack of a real public transportation system. Emphasis on the word system. The community of potential Red Line users can hardly be missed. Young people on bicycles, crowds on the light rail headed for Hunt Valley, the circulator's popularity, and what Brody calls the Zipcar phenomenon.
They are owning fewer cars, even without Baltimore, what I think of as Baltimore's Achilles heel, the lack of a transit system.
A city of people who want less and less to do with cars must have good public transportation. A fully developed system, Brody says, would also have bus shuttles outside the city from county to county. Along the waterside, he says, there should be more water taxis like Hoboken, New Jersey has for commuters to Wall Street and from Sausalito, California to San Francisco. And there's plenty of evidence that the new Baltimorean wants a walkable city. The ongoing rewrite of Baltimore's zoning code assumes as much, as do the new city lovers. Carly Page, a bioscience researcher, says the Red Line will move Baltimore smartly into the future by addressing everyday needs, like getting from Federal Hill to Canton, a real problem now. The Red Line won't offer a straight shot from the Hill to Canton, but there are buses to the proposed Red Line stops. Making the trip now is tough, she says.
It's almost a different planet. It takes a long time to get there. The traffic is bad.
Developers of the recently opened Canton Crossing are eager for the line. One of them, Doug Schmidt, says the project is Red Line ready.
We expect it to come. We hope it to come. I hope it'll come. We think it helps our retailers.
Jay Brody says the line is critical to sustaining momentum in the city's current mini renaissance. And he's not impressed with assurances that Maryland's in line for $2.1 billion in federal transportation money.
It has gotten initial blessing, which is why the design is going forward. But it's not a done deal, from my point of view, until you have the final federal check, which is the majority of the financing.
Opponents, he knows, could try to stop the project with a lawsuit.
Which would be unfortunate and, I think, foolish, but nevertheless, it's a great country.
Canton resident Ben Rosenberg agrees with Brody on the need for a transit system. The city lawyer also agrees that the stars are not yet fully aligned for the federal money. And they shouldn't be, he says. The current Red Line route misses too many riders. It traces the waterfront instead of city streets where people live.
Nobody wants crabs and fish for the Red Line, but there are very, very few people on that side.
Like Brody, for different reasons, he's skeptical about reports that the federal financing is essentially in hand.
I think it's pretty obvious that things aren't lined up politically and bureaucratically, or else the federal government would have made a decision by now.
Given the opposition, Brody says much depends on Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake. She ought to be walking the halls in Washington looking for opportunities to make the case for Baltimore, Brody says. No one should imagine there will be another opportunity to secure this money or this major amenity, he said.
Well, I think if it doesn't happen now, it won't happen in the future. This is the Obama administration. They're very keen on transit. They've given preliminary approval to the Red Line for Baltimore. The time is right.
People ask him, he says, why the mayor isn't more visible on the issue if she really wants the project. She says she does want it.
The cities that are able to thrive in the future are the cities that have the best public transportation. Millennials and the generations that follow do not want to be car dependent.
Her 10-year-old daughter, she says, has gotten the no car message. The youngster tells her mother she wants nothing to do with burning fossil fuels. So Rawlings Blake says, how could she be anything but a backer?
My support for the Red Line has been unwavering. It was important for me to make sure that there was no miscommunication in public or private in any conversation that I've had about my support for the investment that will bring us the next generation of public transportation. So I'm fighting to keep it on track.
The line gains importance with every new car on the road. The new city residents may not have them, but many others do. So there is mounting gridlock in the region, not just in Baltimore. The big picture, Brody says, is this.
I think the fate of Baltimore as a city is hooked to two things beyond its boundaries. The fate of the region, which continues to grow, but is also has its problems, and the linkage with Washington. So that's the super Baltimore region, and that's the vision we should have in front of us.
The future of Baltimore is here and now, he says. A real transportation system will be a sign to all, newcomers and to the rest of us, that Baltimore is a smart, nimble, and progressive place to live. I'm Fraser Smith reporting for 88.1 WYPR.
Now I'm gonna take you for a ride. Hold on tight so you don't slip or slide. This train is packed, you don't get no seat. Yup, you gotta stand on your tired feet. Where we going, don't worry.